Well, I do love young people, Pastor, and I'm so honored to be asked to come back here again. You really enjoyed being here last time, and I remembered that orchestra. Wow, I love that. That is so good. I'd like to buy a bus and take that orchestra with me. You probably wouldn't like me to do that, though. By the way, you did a great job leading the singing tonight. That was good. Wow, I'm proud of you, man. That is awesome. Well, it's good to be in this service tonight, and I trust God will do something special for us. I came just like you, depending on the Lord. But I do want to thank you again for the privilege of coming back and worshiping with you, and I trust the Lord will do some great things. There's some people that are praying for us tonight. Isn't that good? That's great. Now, my mom's gone to heaven. She always preached for me, prayed for me. Every time I preached, she always prayed for me. But I've got some other prayer partners that have kind of picked up the torch. And I've got some family members, including my wife, that are praying for me tonight. And I'm going to ask you to pray every night. By the way, I really appreciated this special song because what they were singing tonight goes along very well with what I have to share with you. In the message tonight. Before we start with the message, I don't know if you remember us doing this or not, but we did a little exercise. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Yeah, good, okay. The whole idea, and I don't know if I told you where this came from or not, but I was preaching in a prison service, and the Lord blessed in that service in a wonderful way, and some prisoners got saved, And they're up around the front praying, and I was thinking, oh, Lord, give me something to help them, because I knew when they went back to their cell pods, they would probably be persecuted and made fun of and all that sort of thing. And so the Lord gave me this, and I got them doing it. And I said, now remember, guys, I don't know what you're going to face when you get back to your cell pods, but I know this. Now that you're saved, you're connected to somebody that'll give you everything you'll ever need. I said, whatever you need, God has it infinitely. And so I had him do that little exercise, and I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm connected. Wow. And they really got into it. I mean, it really did. And there was plate glass windows on this side of the chapel, and between the chapel and the corridor that led them back to their cell pods. And I watched those dudes as they're walking down that corridor. They're all going, I'm connected. Wow. You know, they really got into it. And I've been using it, that was many years ago, and I've been using that ever since, and I used it in foreign countries as well. In fact, they told me that in Haiti, we did it in the Tent Crusade in Haiti, and they told me that, and we were way back in the bush, where very few white people get. And after that crusade, whenever they saw a white man, they'd go, I'm connected. Wow, they thought all white men did that. You know, they look at them like, well, they got a, you know, screw loose or something. You know, did the same thing in Papua New Guinea. But it's a wonderful thing to be connected to somebody that infinitely has everything we'll ever need. Isn't that wonderful? Well, before we do it, let me tell you one more little quick story. I was walking down the street one day, and I saw a fellow dumping garbage from his truck into a dumpster, and I walked up to him, and he happened to be a friend of mine, and I said, Alan, I owe a tax bill. I said, I wonder if I could borrow $1,000. And he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out his wallet, and he opened his wallet, and he pulled out a check, and he laid the check on his wallet, and he took out a pen, and he signed the check. Now, he didn't fill in the amount. He just signed it. And this guy is a multimillionaire. And he handed me the check, and he said, Rowan, make it out for whatever you need. I could have had some fun with that check. But I made it out for $1,000, and I paid my tax bill. And a few weeks later, I paid him back. But boy, was I glad I was connected to somebody that had resources. So you got to remember, when you're connected to God, you're connected to somebody that has a lot more resources than a millionaire. All right, are you ready? Let's do it together. Grease your elbow if you have to, okay? Are you ready, Chad? My Chad's complaining already. My goodness, come on, Chad, you can do this. Here we go. I'm connected. Wow, good. That is great. Young people, I want you to always remember it's a privilege to be connected to God. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to talk to you about a subject, a concept, that will help you throughout your whole journey. It's an extremely important concept. And God showed me this through a statement found in the Sermon on the Mount that I never disagreed with, but I never fully understood. I'll be honest with you, I honestly didn't. And for years and years and years, I never doubted it as far as its validity. I'm sure I was always sure it had a lot of meaning, but I'm a little slow and I just didn't get it, okay, for a long time. But God showed me, I believe, what it means, and I've been on fire about it ever since. And it's a little phrase, a statement found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. And here it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, for you theologians that understood that, you'll have to be patient with me. I was slow to get it. I really never understood, honestly, what it meant to be poor in spirit until the Lord opened this thing to me, and I've been just so excited about it ever since. I mean, poor in spirit, you know, did that mean feeling bad? No, it doesn't, okay? Did that mean being depressed? No, doesn't mean that. Does that mean being broke? No, not really. Not really. You don't have to be broke to go to heaven. Thank the Lord, you know. If that were the case, we probably all could make it pretty easy, you know. But that isn't it at all. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, let's go to another verse before we answer it, okay? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, there's another word that's kind of hard to get a hold of, I think, and that's the word humility. What does it mean to be humble? And what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked because I want to tell you. Okay? You see, there's a gap that exists. And that gap that exists is the gap between what I can do and what needs to be done. Okay? For example, there's a gap, and don't get nervous about this, but this is true. There's a gap between what I'm able to do tonight and what needs to be done in this service. Now, you got to understand, that's not bad. In fact, that's good. And if we ever get to the point where we don't think there's a gap, we're in trouble. And young people and you old folks can listen in too if you'd like. If we ever forget that we're God dependent, we're in trouble. You know, I think sometimes we try to get young people to We try to get them to be so success conscious that we want them to believe that they can just do anything. In fact, I went to a seminar some time ago, and somebody paid my way, and so I went. And there was some good stuff there, but there was some of that was said in that seminar that just made my blood curdle. It made me cringe. They were trying to convince us that we could do anything. You know, you've probably read it or seen it, whatever the mind of man can believe in, can, you know, it can achieve, you know. That's humanism, folks. By the way, don't get nervous. I am not going to tell you that you can't accomplish anything. In fact, I believe this ought to encourage you tonight, not discourage you. But if we're not careful, we can believe we can do anything without God. And you know what my Bible tells me? My Bible tells me I can't do anything without him. Jesus said, without me you can do what? Nothing. And you know, I did a word study on the word nothing. And you know what it means? It means nothing. That was profound, wasn't it? Yeah. It means zero, you know. And where we really do get in trouble is when sometimes we have a little success. And success is wonderful. And I want everybody to be successful. In fact, the Bible teaches us that God wants us to be successful. Okay? It's not a sin to be successful. But there's a little danger in success, and we need to be aware of that. And that is, success, if we're not careful, will cause us to suddenly get the idea that we can do things without God. You know, I did it. No, you didn't. Oh, maybe you did, but God helped you to do it. You see the danger? The danger is assuming that I can perform in a way that should be done without the Lord. And this could be true on your job. It could be true in preaching. It could be true in singing or playing the instruments. And I hope you're not going to be offended or hurt by when I tell you this tonight, but you need to ask God to help you to play the piano better, play the trombone better, play the trumpet better. And we need to be God-dependent in everything we do. In everything we do. And the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, which means blessed are the ones who recognize this gap and realize that only God can fill that gap. You see, it's good to get better at whatever we do. It's good to get better at playing our instruments. It's good to get better at preaching. Everybody's hoping I'll get better at it. You know, and we all need to get better at what we do. Nothing wrong with that. But here's what you need to remember. No matter what it is we're doing, as we get better, this gap doesn't close. This gap just goes like this. Because no matter how good we get at anything, we still have to depend on God when we do it. Amen? This is so simple. This isn't going to be a real, you know, wow sermon. But the concept is extremely important if you're going to experience continuous spiritual victory. God wants us to always be God-dependent. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That means, that's simply what it kind of repeats what I've already said. In other words, when we get to the point where we think that we can do it without God, that's when we're in trouble. John 21:3. I love this. It says, that night they caught nothing. These are fishermen. They're pros. They're the best. But that night they didn't catch any. My dad and I used to do a lot of trout fishing. And I don't ever remember getting skunked. I remember a couple of times it came close. My dad was good. And I'm sure that these fishermen that are referred to in the Bible were good. But that night, they caught nothing. Wow. Until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, it all changed. And according to verse 11, it says they caught 153 big ones. Everybody okay? How do you know they were big ones, Brother Fick? Because the Bible says they were great fish. 153. I've caught a lot of fish in my lifetime. I never caught 153 in one night. Wow. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. God is looking for something from us. God wants every Christian to be a producer. God expects every one of us to be a blessing to somebody. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many people are in church tonight because of you? No, I'm sorry, I don't mean your kids. Yeah, they come because you told them they were coming. Okay, good. I don't mean that. I mean, who is here tonight because of your influence? And I know there's a lot of family here, so I'm not talking about family. That's good. That's good. Good family influence, that's wonderful. But I'm talking about, you know, pre-Christians. Do you know any? Are you friends with any? Amen. And again, I know I'm here to address the young people, but I want all of us to get this. God expects every one of us to be an influence in the lives of people who need the Lord. The Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we need to engage in this program that God has established of reaching pre-Christians for the Lord. Surely you know somebody that needs Jesus. It reminds me of the story of Peter Waters. Maybe you read about him in the war. You know, the bombs were bursting, the bullets were flying, but Peter Waters climbed out of the trench that he was in, and he crawled across no man's land, and, you know, the bullets are buzzing over his head, but he crawled all the way across this area. He dropped into the enemy trench, and he knocked a soldier out, and he grabbed him by the nap of the neck and drug him back across no man's land and dropped him into his own trench next to his commanding officer. And the commanding officer said, "Peter Waters, where did you get him?" He said, "There's a whole trench full of them over there. Go get one." Amen. There's a whole trench full of pre-Christians out there. Go get one. Amen. Now, I know there's a gap. And the gap is, you know, what you're able to do and what needs to be done. But don't get nervous. The Lord wants to fill that gap. The Lord wants to make a difference in your life. And He is the only one that can fill that gap. You can't even fill it. You cannot get so good that you don't need Him anymore. I can't get so good at preaching that I can do it without the Lord anymore. If I do, I'm done. Before I came to church tonight, I begged God to help me. Why? Because I know if He doesn't help me, it's disaster. And I'm not, this isn't not hypocritical humility. This is the truth. I desperately need the help of the God Spirit as I try to communicate with you tonight. And that isn't just tonight. It's every time I preach, brother. It's every time you preach, Pastor. It's every time you teach your Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher. One of the greatest lessons, I know this is very basic, very simple, but one of the greatest lessons that any Christian can learn is the concept of continuous dependence upon the Lord. You need Him in school, you need Him at work, you need Him at home, you need Him at play, you need Him in church, you need Him out of church. And if you're going to be an influence in anybody's life, you have to have the help of God. Amen. And everybody ought to pray every day. I try to pray this prayer. I try to pray it before my feet hit the floor in the morning if I'm awake enough to do it. And I pray, "Oh God, make me a blessing to somebody today." We ought to pray that prayer every day. That's our job. Everyone in this room tonight has a job to do. There's a purpose. God has a plan for all of us. And we need to engage in that. Wow. Philippians 4:13. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so this message tonight isn't to make clear our limitations. It's only to let us know that in spite of whatever limitations we have, we still can accomplish a whole lot. And the apostle got it. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Only God can light our candle and make us the light of the world. You know, Jesus said we're to be the light of the world. Well, that candle has to be lit. Only Jesus can do that. Wow. Only God can make us love like we ought to love. So there's a gap between what is and what needs to be. And this gap between what I am and what I need to be can only be filled by the Lord. And so we need to pray, oh God, fill the gap. Fill the gap in my life. Lord, make a difference in me. Wow. And you're all familiar with Revelation 3:17. This is the other side of that. Frightening. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You see, they said, we don't need God. We're rich, we're increased with goods, and have need of nothing. That's a terrible state to get in. It sounded good to them, but it sure didn't sound good to God. Wow. In other words, they didn't see the gap. And then it goes on to say, and knowest not that thou art poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Wow. You see, it's kind of humbling to see our deficiency. We would like to feel really good about ourselves. And that's not all bad. I think we should. But if we stop seeing the gap, then we're in trouble. It's okay to have some confidence. That's all right. I don't think this isn't a lesson to make you feel less capable or to cause you to throw away your confidence. That's not the purpose here at all. The purpose is to recognize that no matter where we are in our journey, this gap is always there. And it's a good gap. This isn't bad. It's good because it reminds us of our God dependence. Wow. If we don't see it, we won't get the help we need. Failure to recognize the gap between what is and what ought to be is the state or condition that I call mediocrity. Or Jesus called it lukewarm. And he said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I wouldn't you are hot or cold, but I don't want you lukewarm. And lukewarm is mediocre. Wow. The psalmist said in chapter 3 and verse 7, he said, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. So here's a cry unto the Lord. Here's a recognition of the need of help. Verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. We need the blessing of the Lord. What a privilege. What an awesome thing it is to be blessed of God. And what a wonderful privilege it is to pronounce a blessing on someone. You know, Lord, bless this young man. What a privilege. You can pray a blessing on somebody. Many years ago, you can figure it was many years ago. I think I was 15 or 16 years old. My dad and I were hiking through the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York to a favorite fishing place, and I noticed that my dad's hair was white and his shoulders were stooped and he was walking slower than he used to through the woods. And I said, Dad, wait a minute. I said, I've been thinking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and been thinking about the Old Testament dudes. And they wanted their father, to pronounce a blessing on them. And so I said, Dad, I'm going to, let's kneel down here in the trail, Lord, Dad, and I want you to pray that the Lord will bless my life. Wow. Now, you didn't know my dad, but my dad could pray. And he laid his hands on my head, and he prayed, Dear God, I want you to bless Rowan, and I want you to make him a blessing. Now, God never called me to preach till I was 30 years old, but I had my ordination at 15. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. I told that story when I was training 500 pastors in Papua New Guinea on the 21 Laws of Leadership. And I gave that illustration. And when I finished that particular session, my room where I was staying was just 100 yards from the pulpit where I was speaking. But it took me 2.5 hours to get to my room. Because those young preachers came and said, Brother Fay, would you ask God to bless my life? And he would step aside, and after I would pray with him, and another one would step in, Brother Fay, would you pray for me and ask God to bless my life? And then he would step aside, and another one would say, took me all that time to get to my room. What a privilege. What a privilege. That was many years ago. One of those men is one of the leaders in the Papua New Guinea Bible Church and just came to Hope Sound where I live just a few weeks ago, and he reminded me, Brother Fay, you prayed for me. You asked God to bless my life. And he said, God has. Hallelujah. And parents, I want you to hear me with your heart tonight. You have the privilege of pronouncing a blessing on your children. And you grandparents have the privilege of pronouncing a blessing on your grandchildren. Furthermore, you can pronounce a blessing on anybody. That's a whole lot better than cursing them, isn't it? I think so. I think so. What a privilege. God makes a difference. Wow. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. This is an acknowledgement of help, need of help from God. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think as anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of the Lord. That kind of takes care of the pride issue. Amen. It's so good to say, God, I need you. And when I do that, when I cry unto God and say, oh God, I need you, God doesn't say, oh no, here he is again. God says, Fay, where have you been? He wants us to come. He wants us to cry out like this. Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What a sad statement. God was looking for somebody that would intercede. God was looking for somebody that would stand between, that would connect the needs of men and the all-sufficiency of God. Somebody that would recognize the fact that when we're connected to God, we're connected to somebody that can fill that gap. Wow. The blessing of God comes in direct response to prayer. Psalm 5, verse 2 and 3. Hearken unto my voice, O hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You see, the psalmist is saying, can I put it in my own words? Lord, I'm going to bed, I'm going to sleep, but I'll meet you in the morning. Because I need you every day. Wow. David is expecting God to respond to him. Notice the fervency of David's prayer as he says to God, Oh God, listen to my cry for help. And young people, it is so exciting to me to think that God can help you with every single part of your life. Really, I'm dead serious. I mean all of your life. He'll help you in school, help you at work. No, he isn't going to help you get an A on the test if you don't study, but... You know, some of us study, and we still don't get it. So we need a lot of help. Reminds me of a prayer I found. Maybe you saw this. Dear Lord, so far today I am doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, negative, critical, complaining, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, cursed, or eaten any carbohydrates. However, I'm going to get out of bed in a few minutes. I need a lot more help after that. The point, folks, is that we need God's help every single day. And the good news is we can have it every single day. Lord, make me a blessing to somebody today is a great prayer to pray. Wow. Oh, my. I got to skip some of this. Well, if you only knew how good it was, though, you'd want me to finish. Oh, help me, Lord. It reminds me, I was getting ready to preach in Hope Sound a little while ago, and on a Sunday morning, and we were looking out the kitchen window while we were eating breakfast to a beautiful rose bush, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And I said to Judy, my wife, I said, honey, I don't understand it. The more I cut it back, the better it gets. She said, honey, it's that way with sermons, too. I'm trying to learn. Oh, man alive. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's pretty obvious here we need God's help, don't we? That's big stuff. We're fighting some pretty strong forces. We've got to have God's help every day. The good news is we can have it. We've got to ask for it. We can't get it just by assumption. We need to ask for the help. Wow. James 4, 2. You have not because you ask not. Wow. Wow, there's... Oh, help me, Lord. I got way, way too many notes here. Forgive me, Lord. Yeah, these are all notes. I'm skipping a whole lot here. Oh, my goodness. Why does everybody smile when I close that? I never could figure that one out, Pastor. Some people won't smile the whole time I'm preaching. I go like that and I get the biggest grin. Let me give you something that I made up here. I've got some bookmarks here, and if you'd like one of these, I'll give one to you at the service. You'll ask me for one. These are reminders of how to make a difference. And every Christian ought to make a difference every day, somehow, okay? So here's 10 things that will help you to make a difference. Number one, did you pray for a pre-Christian today? Every day we ought to pray that somebody that we know will get saved. Number two, did you pray that God would bless another Christian today? And I already told you, that's a wonderful privilege to pronounce a blessing on someone. Number three, did you pray for your pastor today? Pray for this man. He needs help. Pray for him every day. Oh, that's a great idea. Number four, did you wish someone happy birthday today? You say, well, Brother Faye, I don't know anybody. Well, make a list. Start a list. I call 668 people every year on their birthday. So I get to call somebody every day of my life. I call somebody somewhere in the world and wish them a happy birthday. And by the way, people love it. I called somebody today, in Florida and wished him a happy birthday, and they squealed. Brother Faye, you're in Indiana, and you called me. The problem is when I forget, I really get in trouble. In fact, that happened. I somehow forgot somebody the other day, and I got a phone call. You didn't call me on my birthday. I guess I shouldn't have done it so regularly. Let's see. Number five, how did you serve someone today? We ought to be servants. You know, young people, if you can learn to be a servant, I'll promise you, you will be successful. But people who never serve anybody never get anywhere. We're called to be servants. Number six, did you encourage someone today? Number seven, did you tell somebody today that you love them? You know, it isn't enough for you to feel like you might love somebody. You ought to tell them. You heard about the wife that said to her husband, "Honey, you haven't told me in a long time that you love me." He said, "I told you 30 years ago I love you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." No, that won't work, folks. You know, every day. I must have told my wife I loved her probably 8 times today. And there's a reason. Today's our anniversary. Let's see. Okay. Number 8, did you hug anyone today? Oh, boy, do I have fun with this one. I tell you what. I had an uncle and an aunt that she loved my hugs and he didn't, you know. So whenever they'd see me coming, she'd go, "Oh, goody, I'm going to get a hug," you know. And he'd, you know, he'd be one of these, you know. He got one anyway. Hugging some people is like hugging an apple tree. You can hug them, but you don't get much back. Let's see. Number 8, did you greet someone you didn't know today? Oh, our family, we had so much fun with this. I do this all the time. I love it when I'm in the store somewhere, and, you know, they've got a name tag, and they forget they have a name tag. You know, and I'll say, "Hi, John, how are you?" "How did he know my name?" "Well, good night, they got a name tag, you know." We were in Times Square in New York City. We were walking down Broadway. And my wife, Judy, she's the 8th wonder of the world. She's one incredible lady. But she's greeting all the people as we're walking down the sidewalk. And my daughter, Vicky, said, "Mom, you're not the greeter here." But it's fun to do that. You got to try it. All right, and number 10, did you read your Bible today? You know, if you'd like one of those, I have a few of them. You can have one. But every person here ought to make a difference. But you can't make a difference unless you recognize the gap. And the gap is the difference between where you are and what you need to be. But only God can fill the gap. So if you ask God to fill that gap, He'll make the difference. And when He makes a difference in you, then you'll make a difference in the lives of other people. I can't make a difference in the world I live in unless God makes a difference in me. I can't bless you unless God blesses me. But God's plan is for me to be a blessing. And so we need to pray the prayer of Jabez. You remember what he prayed? "Oh God," he said, "bless me indeed." In case you don't know what that means, it means, "Oh God, I want a blessing and I want a big one." And he said, "I want you to enlarge my coast," which means I want you to increase my sphere of influence. And he said, "And Lord, I want your hand to be upon me. And keep me from evil that it grieve me not." What a prayer. And I love what it says. It says, "And God granted him that which he requested." God was happy with that prayer. And God will be happy with you if you will pray that prayer. Do you know that song here, that chorus, make me a blessing out of my life, may Jesus shine? Do you know that? A little bit. Is it in the hymn book? Maybe it's in that one. No? Can you lead it? "Me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing." to someone today. Let's stand and sing it again, okay? Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, save your, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Shake hands with at least 30 people before you leave. You're dismissed.